Buenos días, Evanston. Y Dios les bendiga. Yo soy Tina.
Y yo soy Keith. Y queremos darle bienvenido a la Iglesia Bautista de la Avenida Evanston.
Hey, ¿qué son estos?
Oh, son subtítulos.
¿Y por qué tenemos subtítulos?
Porque si no, no van a entender lo que estamos diciendo.
¿Y ellos escribirán todo lo que digo?
Sí.
Paraguas, pollo, mantequilla de cacahuate.
Déjame arreglar esto.
That's better.
What was that all about?
Well, we have special guests from Mexico this morning. I put the TV in Spanish mode to help them feel at home. And we hope you feel at home here at Evanston as well.
Whether it's your first time here or you've been attending since you were born, there's a place for you here at Evanston.
And if you were wondering what your next steps might be to get connected to Evanston, Daniel is here to help you out.
Here's Daniel. Good thing you didn't put the TV in Korean mode. That would be weird.
Hi, I'm Daniel, and we wanted to let you know how you can get more connected here at Evanston Avenue Baptist Church. Our children's and our youth programs are currently on their summer break, but that doesn't mean we don't have anything for them. VBS will be July 24th through July 28th. HYPE will be meeting every other week during the summer, but there are a few exceptions, so you'll want to check your calendar for that. For the adults, we have our monthly fellowship dinners. That'll be the last Sunday of every month. We also have our men's golf and our ladies' meetings. We also have a lot of volunteer opportunities available, so please talk to us about those if you're interested. We are still editing our Stories of Faith videos, so be on the lookout for those coming soon. If you're like me and can't remember these dates after the sermon, then check out the website. It's got all of our events and dates on there. So no matter where you're at in your journey, there's something for you.
Hey, Tina, what you got there?
Oh, I'm just checking out the bulletin. Did you know that it's filled with information about our church and that you might find it handy?
Well, I did know that. That's also where you can find the connection card.
Oh.
If you fill that out, you'll stay up to date with all the things going on at the church.
You can also use that card to let us know if you need prayer or would like someone from the church to contact you.
So why don't you get busy filling that out? You.
Oh.
And you guys out there can do the same. And when you're done, you can just drop it on the pew when you leave. And one of our amazing ushers will pick it up for you. Or, if you're more of a techie, you can find an expanded calendar and connection form on our website.
The website is a great resource where you can find all the information you're looking for.
We post some pretty interesting articles and resources there a couple times a week. So you are definitely going to want to check that out.
Don't forget, if you want to go back and listen to a Sunday school lesson or sermon, you can do that too. We have an archive with the audio and the slides and so much more.
So head on over to EvanstonAvenueBaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
It's almost time for Pastor Matt, but before that, we do have a couple more important things to share with you.
If you want more fun in Spanish, then you definitely are going to enjoy this.
For VBS this year, we are heading to Peru, so get out your passport and get buckled in for some adventure. Here's a sneak peek.
At Bible Expeditions, kids experience the daily Bible story in a hands-on way that engages all their senses. For example, on day one, kids experience Psalm 23 in a hands-on, multi-sensory, and sometimes surprising way. Crew leaders guide small group discussions that help kids connect God's Word to real life.
VBS is July 24th through 28th, and registration is going on now. So grab a flyer from the back, or you can register online at evanstonavenuebaptist.com/VBS.
And if you want to help us out, we have these handy yard signs you can put in your yard.
So if you have families in your neighborhood who might want to come to VBS, you can stake out a sign and fill it with flyers.
The yard sale is coming up July 21st, and you can still bring in your donations anytime.
Finally, we're having a special prayer and worship service July 16th at 6 p.m. That's next week.
This will be an evening of prayer and worship, and there will be elders and leaders there to pray with you and for you specifically. You don't want to miss it.
Well, now that we have you up to speed, it's time to grab a pencil and take out your Bibles.
And if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take one of ours from the pews. It's our gift to you. Now here's Pastor Matt continuing our series, Finding Our Place, with his sermon on natural talents. Mogasamim, Matt, Yogi Aseo.
You know, it really worries me what you guys do with the video sometimes, so... What was the last one? Was that Korean officially? Yes. All right, my friends. Hey, our ushers are going to come forward. We're going to pray for the offering. Then we're going to dive into God's Word together. And for those of you that would like one of those yard signs for the Vacation Bible School, they are in the back by the computer back there, so please grab one of those, and let's get our kids from our neighborhoods invited. Amen? All right, let me pray. Father, you're the giver of all good gifts. We love you and praise you. We thank you for all the ways that you love us and shower your blessings upon us. So, Father, as we return to you a small portion of what you've given us, we ask that you receive it in the spirit with which it was given. Father, we ask that you take what we have given, and we ask that you multiply it into Muskegon and into the world so that your word may spread. We pray this in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask now that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts and minds, that we'd be able to hear your word, receive it, and apply it to our lives. And Father, as the pastor, I simply ask that any word that is from me would fall to the ground. I ask that every word that is from you would change our lives forever. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends. Now, we're at the beginning stages of a really fun journey, because we're going to be talking about how do we find our place? How do we understand how God has wired us? Last week, we were talking about what it means that we, all of us, we are part of something called the priesthood of all believers. And I love what Paul was saying. I love how they're talking about, you know, our job as missionaries is to live intentionally. And ultimately, what he's doing is they are bringing the presence of Jesus intentionally with them wherever they go. So, hey, we're walking in the park. That's awesome. We're bringing Jesus with us to introduce people to him. How cool is that? That's part of the priesthood of all believers. And so what we're going to be doing for the next several weeks is we're going to be exploring how do we do that? How do we live out our priesthood as a believer? How do we bring Jesus into the world around us? Because last week I shared with you, you have a ministry. Whether you're currently serving in it, whether you're getting ready for it, or whether you've never heard that idea before, you have a ministry that Jesus has uniquely prepared you for. Oh, and I should probably add the disclaimer, he can change it sometimes. And that's part of what I love about Paul and Jan's story, that they were doing one thing, serving the Lord faithfully for years, and all of a sudden, boom, God grabs a hold of them and says, I have something else for you to do. And he prepared them for that. And so we are on this wonderful, amazing journey of always finding out where has God put us, how has he wired us, what's he using us for, and how is he equipping us to do that. So we're going to spend the next couple of weeks doing that. It starts today. And now here's my invitation. Today we're going to teach on a subject. Next week, Sunday morning in Sunday school, we're going to have a hands-on piece. So if you kind of walk away from today scratching your head saying, that's great, what do I do with this? Come next week, Sunday school at 9:30, and we'll do the hands-on piece to help you apply this in your life. Sound good? Awesome. Are we awake? Okay, just checking. We're good. Now, I need to tell you this because today we're going to start with a bit of a confessional on my part. And it's really an honest truth. My wife will attest to this. You guys have probably heard me say this in a variety of settings. I'm not being modest. It's true. I'm as handy as a carp. When it comes to doing anything remotely fix-it or handyman-ish or whatever, this is what most of my projects end up looking like. And that's not an exaggeration whatsoever. Early on in Becky and I's relationship, we met in Iowa when we were in college. And I said, hey, there's this really cute redheaded girl and I want to keep hanging out with her. So instead of coming back to West Michigan for the summer, I'm going to stay in Iowa, so I need to find a job. I'll pick something easy like construction. I didn't have the level of self-awareness that I have now. And I think I went through boxes of nails until I figured out I don't know what I'm doing. Apparently, if you use the flat end of the hammer, it works better. You know, I learned that eventually. And my boss, who was very gracious, said, "Matt, we're just going to have you drive the forklift because you can do that." And it's not an exaggeration. I really have zero capacity to do anything handy. I'm routinely farming things out to people because I can't. And that's just part of the way that God has wired me. I don't know why. It's just the way that it is. And people will talk to me and they say, "Matt, we can't do what you do. We can't get up in front of people and talk about anything into a group of people." I'm like, okay, I don't know why, but this is part of the way God has wired me. You see, today, my friends, we're going to be talking about what God has naturally given to us to serve him. And part of this message will seem pretty simple because we talk about it a lot. Even non-Christians talk about it. We're going to be talking about this amazing thing called talents. Talents. And we like to start off in the spiritual, and we like to start sometimes talking about spiritual gifts and all this other stuff. But check this out, my friends. Before we get to spiritual gifts, before we enter into a relationship with God and his Holy Spirit, God has already given us gifts and abilities. We call them talents. And that's part of the way that God has hardwired us for ministry. So I would like to invite you guys, why don't you jump into the book of Exodus with me? We were in Exodus earlier this summer. I love the book of Exodus. It's one of my favorite Old Testament books to preach on and teach through. It's great fun. And this is the part, if any of you are handy, this is going to be a section of Scripture that you love. I mean, honestly, because like the back couple of chapters of Exodus really are blueprints and building plans, and everyone who loves the trades, you guys will really get into Exodus. If you're more of the accountant in your world, God wrote a book for you. It's called Numbers. It's all good. Some jokes, you know, happen later. But this is really the high point of the book of Exodus. And if you weren't with us before, just a quick recap. The really, really exciting parts of Exodus that we like to teach on and show in movies, those are actually the beginning and the middle of the book. You know, the plagues and, you know, the Ten Commandments and all that stuff that's just visually very compelling, and we love to show it in movies. All that's just the beginning. That's just the setup. The climax of the story, the big finish, is the building of the tabernacle. It's the building of the place where God's glory comes and dwells with his people. And that's why God did all of it. God did the plagues. God, you know, walked them through the Red Sea. God came down at Mount Sinai. God did all these miracles, the manna and the quail, all these amazing things that happened in Exodus. He did all of it for one reason, and that reason is he wanted to be with his people. And so the big finish of Exodus was the building of the church, the tabernacle. And this is where we jump into our story. So I want to invite you. We're going to jump in at verse 10, which is kind of in the middle, but we just see this awesome part here in the middle. All right, verse 10. This is the Lord speaking. "All who are skilled among you are to come and make everything that the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle with its tent and its coverings, clasps, frames, crossbars, posts, base, the ark with its poles along with the atonement cover, and the curtain that shields it, the table with its poles and all of its articles, and the bread of the presence, the lampstand which is for light with its accessories, lamps and oil for the light, the altar of incense with its poles, the anointing oil, the frame." Wow. Is anyone else just tired listening to this? This is an incredibly detailed list of everything that God wants built for his church. Verse 15, just to keep going, "the altar of incense with its poles, the anointing oil and fragrant incense, and the curtain for the doorway at the entrance to the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its bronze grating, its poles and all its utensils, the bronze basin with its stand, the curtains of the courtyard with its posts and bases, and the curtain for the entrance of the courtyard, and the tent pegs for the tabernacle in the courtyard, and all the ropes and the woven garments worn for the ministry in the sanctuary, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons while they serve as priests." That really is, that's just a huge grocery list. Husbands, how many of you get honey-do lists. Here's everything I need done. Yep. I'm the non-handy guy, and I get the honey-do list. Wow. But this is exactly what God is doing. He's saying, I want to worship with you. I want to be with you. I want you to worship me. And here's everything that you need in order to do that. Here's the exact plans that you need so that you can worship me. That's kind of what God is saying here. Then check out verse 20. The whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, and for all of its servants, and for all the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. Now, okay, I got to stop. Here's just a fun historical footnote. If you remember, the Israelites were slaves. Where did they get bling from? I mean, and they're bringing in jewelry and gold and all that other stuff. Where did they get the bling? And if you go back and read the beginning of the story of Exodus, you realize that as they were leaving, the Egyptians were giving them their goods, saying, "Your God is beating up. Please stop. Take everything we have and leave." And here's why I love that. A significant part of God's worship facility was built with the jewelry of pagans. This was something that a non-Christian, a non-God worshiper gave to the Israelites, and they took it and turned it into a place to worship the Lord. And I just love it. All throughout Scripture you see that, where God takes something that was destined for unholiness and uses it for his glory. And so here's all the Israelites. They're bringing all this stuff. Verse 23, everyone who had blue and purple and scarlet yarn or fine linen and goat hair and all these other things, okay, they just keep bringing it. Now I want to skip ahead a little bit. Check out verse 30 of chapter 35. Then Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and has filled him with the Spirit of God." Okay, so this is a godly man. "With skill and ability and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic craftsmanship. And he has given both him and Oholiab, the son of another guy, the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others, and he has filled them with the skill to do all kinds of work as craftsmen, designers, embroiderers in blue and purple and scarlet yarn and fine linen and weavers, and of them master craftsmen and designers." So Bezalel, Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do just as the Lord commanded. And I love that, because here's what the Bible is saying. We're going to build this amazing building for God. This is an artist's rendering of it. This is what they were ultimately, just a really awesome, amazing tent that they could use for worship. And here's everything that they're putting into it. But in the middle of this story, we realize this very important truth. God gives the talents. And I know that that's so simple. We get that. Yeah, it's a God-given talent. We get that. But look at how God words this. If you check out verse 35. And verse 31 of chapter 35. "For God has filled him with the Spirit of God, with the skill, ability, and knowledge of all kinds of crafts." I promise you, God has not filled me with that skill in any capacity. But that just is a reminder to me that whatever your talent is, whatever the skills are that God has given to you, they come from him directly. He has wired you with the capacity to do them. Okay, that's pretty straightforward, right? We get that. So I want to move on, because God gives us talents. And then number two, the second truth we need to look at, is then it is up to us. We use our talents. Again, this is not earth-shattering news. I don't know if you even need to write that one down. God gives the talents. We use our talents. Okay? So for those of us that have the gifts of being handy and fixing and doing all the construction trades like are mentioned in this Bible, for many of you, you use that or are using that as your means of employment, because that's the skill set that you have. So yes, we use our talents. Great. We get all this. God gives talents, and it is my job as a creature, as a human being, to steward those talents somehow. So why is this message needed? What is remarkably even close to being important that we don't already know? Because non-Christians get this, right? Non-Christians get, find your talent and use it. That's all I've said really thus far. So here's the piece that's different for us. We know God gives the talents, we use the talents. How we use our talents, however, demonstrates our heart's affection. How you use the talents you've been given tells you and tells the world what your heart's desire truly is. And part of what I love about this story are these two guys. We don't know anything about them other than what's right here in the text. Bezalel and Oholiab. I don't even know if I'm saying their names right. When I get to heaven, I'll ask. But all we know about these guys is that they were given amazing talents. And they were called by God and they responded by using those talents to build the tabernacle. And again, it may seem like, okay, they built a nice church. Some amazing people constructed this magnificent building. How is it any different? Well, my friends, in some ways it's not. They were building a place to worship, just like we are in now. But I want you to see the tabernacle. I want you to go a little bit deeper with it. Okay? Then it's more than just a tent. It's more than just a tent. Here's a picture of it again. And again, this is an artist rendering, of course. We don't know exactly what it looks like. But I want you to write something down for me, because if you look at the tabernacle, I want you to go read Numbers chapter 2. In your own private study, read Numbers chapter 2. Because what you can kind of see in this picture, but it doesn't really show up because, you know, it's just a drawing, is that the tabernacle was intentionally put in the middle of the camp. So there's a million plus Israelites, and they put this tabernacle in the middle of it, and God gave specific instructions in Numbers chapter 2 as to how they were to camp. And he said, this tribe goes here, this tribe goes there, that tribe goes over there. And they very intentionally arranged the tabernacle around, or the people around the tabernacle. And that's not a cute design trick. Although, here's my challenge to you. If you read Numbers chapter 2, there is something amazing and surprising if you read through it and do the math. That's all I'm going to say. See if you can find it. But what we see for sure is that God put the tabernacle in the center of their community. And every step along the way, they organized their entire community existence around God's presence among them. You see, my friends, and don't worry, we're going to come back to talents in a second. Whatever is the biggest, tallest, and in the center of your community is generally what is worshipped in that community. Whatever is the tallest, whatever is in the middle, whatever is the biggest, that's what's worshipped in your community. And if you look back at American history, we have these wonderful buildings like this. And if you look back, where often would the church be put? Usually in the middle of town. It would have a bell or a clock on it. It would have this amazing, weird-looking antenna thing we call a steeple. You ever wonder why we had steeples? It literally was so that when we walk to church, our eyes are drawn upwards. So when a church building, if you really want to know what a church building was for, it was so that we could know that the center of our life is a relationship with God, and the church building was there to tell us when to worship, the bells or clock, who to worship, God, and where to worship in the middle of everything we do. Then you look at how history progressed. What's in the middle of all of our cities now? Shopping, yeah, banks, businesses, sports. So what does our community worship? Look at what is the biggest, the tallest, and in the middle. Oh, here's one more. Do you want to know what you worship? Look at your life. What takes up the most space? What's in the center of everything you do? What's the biggest? Is it the amount of time we spend in front of our 56-inch flat-screen LED TV? Worshiping our pleasure? Or is it the amount of time we carve out to intentionally do what is of the Lord? Ooh. See, for the people of Israel, God used these men and women with talents to intentionally put this tabernacle in the middle of everything they do so that everything would revolve around their relationship with Him. In our society, we largely as churches get pushed to the side and something else takes center stage. Oh, here's a trivia bit. Do you know what the tallest building in Muskegon is? Shoreline Inn. I don't know what that says about our worship, but I found that interesting. There was some debate. Well, isn't it the smokestacks? I don't know if that counts as a building or if it's just a big chimney. But either way, what's at the heart of our community? Falling down factories and tourism. What do we as a community worship? So what does all this have to do with talents? Well, I'll go back to the hotel. We'll get to that one in a second. What these talents were used for of the guys in our text, Bezalel and Oholiab, the use of their talents showed their heart's affections. And so I want to challenge you with this idea that how you choose to use your talents shows your heart's affections, but it also does something else. How you choose to use your talents also allows you, if you use them for God's glory, using your talents allows you to reorder your world around your love of God. How you use your talents allows you to reorder your world around your love of God. So, what is at the center of your life? And I want to challenge you as we begin this journey of figuring out how God has wired me for ministry. He has put you in the places He's put you. He's given you the raw talents He has given you. And He offers you this invitation that you can use those gifts to reorder your life for His kingdom. And that's why I love hearing Paul and Jan's story where they say, you know what we're really good at? Building connections with people. That is a skill set. It's a talent. Have you ever met someone who's not good at building relationships and watched them try? It's pain. It's like screeching chalkboard, kind of painful moment. Like, oh, just stop. But that's one of the skill sets that they've been giving, is making connections with new people. There's a dear friend of mine and of ours back in Illinois who very late in life discovered a deep love of taxidermy. I don't get it. But she'll find dead critters on the road and go, I can fix it. And all of a sudden there's like a squirrel that looks a little surprised. You know, it's kind of funny. But guess what she's using as a connecting point to introduce people to Jesus? Stuffed squirrels. It's not my thing, but hey, it works for her. So my friends, my challenge for you is, whatever talents God has given you, use them to reorder your life around your love for Him. Or let me put it another way, because I think Paul's phrase was better. Live intentionally. What's your talent? Use it for God's glory on purpose. And watch what happens. And that's really when the fun stuff comes in. But now I have one other thing that I need to share with you. And there's a reason why this is a series rather than just one sermon that says, go find your talent and use it. Okay? I want you to flip with me to another page in Scripture. If you want to flip to the book of Mark. Because our talents are great. God has given us them so that we can use them. We can display our affections for Him. We can reorder our life around our love for God with our talents. We can use our talents to live intentionally for Him. But then the big question is, why aren't they enough? Why do we need to have more parts in this series? And I want to jump into this little passage very, very briefly to set the scene. This is, again, this is the story of Jesus walking on the water. He's just fed 5,000 people. He sends His disciples on a boat, bearing in mind many of His disciples were fishermen. They lived in boats for a living, you know. And so that's kind of the story. It says, immediately, after feeding 5,000 people, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, which is across the lake, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on the mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw his disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. And I would encourage you guys, in your own private study, read some of the other versions of this in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's some really fun stuff that you read in there. But so here's Jesus walking on the water. He was about to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost, and they cried out, because they all saw him and were terrified. And immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed. I'll stop there for right now. And I bring this up because here's one of the takeaways that we need as to why our talents are not enough. We need to find our talents. We need to use our talents for God's glory. But by themselves, the talents God has given us are insufficient. Look at this text. What were the disciples doing? Jump with me into verse 48. He saw the disciples, trained professional fishermen, straining at the oars. What was their talent? What was their skill set? Sailing and catching fish. This was, literally, this was their wheelhouse. They were really, really good at it. And here they were straining at the oars, and they can't do it by themselves. And look at the next part of this verse. The very end of it, he says, he was about to pass them by. And here's one of the takeaways I want us to grab onto from this particular passage. As much skill and as much talent as they had in the area of boat driving, not my skill set either. I'm hoping for a midlife crisis where I can get a boat and learn that skill, but sailing, that's probably better. As much talent as they had at sailing, their talent was still insufficient to do what Jesus did. And because here they were straining at the oars, Jesus was about to pass by them. And so, yes, we need to find our talents. We need to use our talents. We need to live intentionally with them. But there's more that is needed. We need the supernatural involvement of Jesus Christ himself, because our talents are insufficient to accomplish the mission Jesus has given us. Our only hope is supernatural help. Because we have amazing talents in this church. We can do amazing things. But I promise you, we cannot fulfill the mission that God has given us to bring the gospel to Sheldon Park and to Oakview and to all of Muskegon and to the ends of the earth. We cannot do it if all we rely on is our own natural talent. We start with that. We use our talent. It's a great place, a great gift that God has given to us. But this is not all we have. Because look at what happens. You know, as much as these guys are just pulling on the oars and using their skills to the best of their ability, Jesus steps in the boat, calm. They couldn't do that. Our talents are what God has called us to do in our own strength. We need to use those. But we also need to wait and watch and join with Jesus as he does what only he can do. And that's change of life. I can't do that. I can talk. I can do this. That's a talent God has given me. I can't change anyone's life. That's only Jesus. Amen? So find our talents. We're going to start doing that next Sunday. Not only just what, many of you know what my talents, you know, your talents are. But next Sunday, we're going to have a talent discovery time that we're going to use. But also, how does that start to fit into the whole kingdom of God? Because it's more than just your talents. It's how does it fit? So 9:30 tomorrow. You can tell, I think, in terms of Sundays. 9:30 next week, we'll start that. We'll start figuring out how do your talents fit into God's kingdom. But there's more to this series because talent alone is not enough. Amen? Let me pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. You've given us talents. You've given us abilities. Father, we thank you for them. Lord, we just ask that we can use them to reorder our life around our affection for you. Father, we pray for the opportunity to live intentionally with the skills that you've given us. And Father, we'd also just acknowledge that our talent alone is not enough to accomplish your mission. So Father, we thank you. Thank you for giving us a mission that is beyond our capacity. And Father, thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit who can do more than we could possibly ever ask or imagine. So Father, as we begin this journey together, we commend it to your care in Jesus' name. I pray. And all God's people said, amen. All right, my friends, I want to invite you. We're going to close our time together in worship, and then we will be on our way to go and live intentionally out in the world. But why don't you stand with us as we offer our hearts to the Lord this morning.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Here's my heart, Lord.
Here's my heart, Lord. Are you guys motivated to use your talents to serve the Lord this morning? Amen. Well, let's go out of here. Souls on fire. Amen.
Heart, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Here I am, my soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for your rain. When I am, my soul on fire. Here I am, my soul on fire. God, I'm running for your heart. Here I am, my soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for your day. Here I am, my soul on fire. Here I am, my soul on fire. Lord, restore the joy I had. I am wandered, bring me back. In this darkness, lead me through. Until all I see. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, let me burn for you again. Let me return to you again. And Lord, let me burn for you again. Let me return to you again. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Here I am, a soul on fire. Here I am, a soul on fire. Here I am, a soul on fire.
Friends, let us pray. Well, Father, we just want to leave this place burning for you. Father, would you give us opportunities to live intentionally for you, to use the gifts and talents that you have given us to live for you with our souls blazing. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My friends, I invite you to go with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you, be merciful unto you, and in all things give you peace. Amen. Go in God's peace.